This morning, we're going to talk about 10 laws of love, and we're going to see the 10 commandments through the eyes of love. I don't know about you, but I never quite understood the 10 commandments. I never quite got the 10 commandments. They frightened me. They were posted at our school, and they just sort of always struck me, even as a Christian, as thou shalt not, you know, if it's fun, stop. You know, like God's codified law was some mighty thing that was just designed to ruin my day. And anything that was fun, there was a law against it. You know, everything I love is illegal, immoral, or fattening, that kind of role. And so even as a believer, I didn't understand where the Ten Commandments fit, where those sort of oughts and shoulds fit in terms of my walk with Jesus and my love for God. And this morning, I want to take just a few minutes, and I want to talk about 10 laws of love. And I want us to go to Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to you're going to become an instant expert in the Ten Commandments. By the time this little message is over, you are going to be firmly committed to this understanding of God's 10 laws of love, and you're going to see them as tender commandments instead of these horrible rules and guidelines designed to ruin your fun. Now, what's interesting in Exodus chapter 20, if you have your Bibles, you can go there, but I want to read the words of Jesus for a few minutes. Listen to the text in Matthew 22, verse 35. One of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Someone came up to Jesus and said, give me the Bible in a nutshell. He said, you want the Bible in a nutshell standing on one foot? Love God vertically with all your heart. Horizontally, love your neighbor as yourself. Let's have lunch. That's it. That's it. That's it. And listen to the words of Paul in Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus said, you want to know the whole Bible in a nutshell? Love God, love your neighbor. Paul takes that and says, if love prevails in your heart through the mercy of God, you don't need a rule to tell you not to hit your neighbor with a baseball bat. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to have sex with his wife. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to run into his car because you're angry with him. Do you see how love is the fulfillment of the law? So I want you to see, before we even look at the Ten Commandments, I want you to see the heart behind them, because God, in the context of Exodus, is a redeeming, saving God. Remember, the children of Israel have been in bondage for hundreds of years. They're helpless. They're hopeless. They're being abused by a wicked taskmaster, Pharaoh. And God, in a merciful act of loving kindness as a heavenly Father, reaches down to redeem a broken and lost people. So notice the whole framework. The God of Israel is not some capricious, sadistic deity way off somewhere who doesn't care. He's intimately involved in redeeming his broken people. So I want you to see that there is a heart of love behind the Ten Commandments. And as we're going to just simply reduce them to relational terms this morning, because guess what? All of God's tender commandments are relational commandments, and they're all the things that you desire and require in a personal relationship. See, God isn't after your conduct. He's after your heart. He's not after your cigarettes. He's after your heart. Because if he gets your heart, see, and he's after relationship. The whole Bible is a relational book. God wants to have relationship with the fallen people who keep rebelling against him and resisting it. And then he keeps wooing. You know, God's wooing the whole universe. He's proposing marriage to the whole universe. But you know what? You've got to yield to his wooing, and you've got to come down to the altar, and you've got to say, I do, because he will never force himself on anyone. Forced love is not love. It's rape. And God is not a divine rapist. He will persuade, but he will never coerce. See? People say, well, why aren't there arguments for the existence of God that are just 2 plus 2 equals 4? Because God is not a math equation. He's a who, not an it. And there's always going to be enough evidence to convince anyone who's not set against it. But you know what? He wants a relationship. He wants love. So he's pursuing that. That's the heart behind this whole story. And then God presents his people. He redeems them from their brokenness. With a high and mighty hand, he brings them through. He splits the Red Sea. He brings them to Mount Sinai, and he gives these 10 commandments. And let's reduce them to laws of love so that we can understand and grasp them. The first commandment, Exodus 20, verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That is simply love's loyalty to its object. God says, I redeemed you. I bought you. I paid the price for you. I love you. I require loyalty. Now, let me ask you, in your relationships, do you want loyalty? Do you want to stand at the altar and have someone promise to be loyal to you 364 days a year? I promise and pledge my troth to be loyal to thee 364. That's not enough. That's not enough at the altar 364 days. You want the full loyalty promise. And God requires of his people, don't have any other gods before me. It's love's loyalty. You want loyalty, don't you, in your friendships? Of course you do. You see, we can't have a love relationship without loyalty being present. Is he asking too much? He redeemed them and bought them and saved them. And he simply says, I would like your loyalty in our love relationship. That's the first commandment. Love's loyalty to its object. Here's the second one. Exodus 20, verse 4. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. What is this? This is love's faithfulness to obey. Love's faithfulness to obey. Did you know that God knows best? Father knows best. I mentioned earlier before we went on the air here that when I was 3 years old, Mrs. Curry next door was so rude as to slap Drano out of my hand when I was just about to drink it. Those lovely little crystals that smell like peppermint. And I'd reached under the sink and I was just within a second of pouring that down my throat. And the neighbor lady slapped the Drano out of my hand, grabbed me by the clothes, pulled me and wrenched me up, and which she had a red face and she was very upset. And I just didn't like the entire experience. But did you know, she knew a little bit more than I did. And did you know, God said, you know, I don't want you to make any graven images. Why? Because he who knows all is the one who sets the limits. Did you know God can't explain everything to us? Because we're pea brains and he's infinite. You can't pour an infinite amount of knowledge into a finite container. So there are times when he requires obedience because he knows everything. And sometimes he'll say no to us and we don't understand. But love in the relationship we have with God must be founded on obedience. Now, granted, that's a vertical trait. Notice the first of these commandments, first table of the Ten Commandments, are vertical. 1 through 4 have to do with our relationship with God. Okay, 4 of them have to do with God. 6 of them have to do with our horizontal relationship with man. But you know, only when we're established in our relationship of love with the Lord do we have something that will align us to horizontally love others. So the degree to which you can love God is the degree to which you can love others. The degree to which you are able to pledge your loyalty to God and experience the fruits of your intimacy. The degree to which you're able to surrender and say, you know what, love's obedience, I think I'm going to trust you when you tell me not to do certain things because you know better than I do. Remember Foljam's book years ago, Everything I Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, you know, clean up after yourself, say I'm sorry, say forgive me, say, you know what, God is just simply saying, you know, I need your loyalty, then our relationship will flourish. Secondly, I need your obedience. Now, granted, horizontally, does this mean we're to be slavishly obedient to one another? Well, we're fallen little creatures. But I want you to notice there is a degree of respect that is necessary in relationships horizontally, which involve obedience, mutual submission to one another. You know, you're strong in areas that I'm weak in, so I need to submit to your anointing in that area, and I need to submit to the strength God has given to you. And so, see, in the give and take of love relationship, the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods, is love's loyalty to its object. The second commandment is love's faithfulness to obey. And here's the third one. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Exodus 20, verse 7. This is love's respect for its object. Did you know taking the name of the Lord in vain is not saying Jesus Christ something? I grew up in a non-Christian home. And everything was always Christ Almighty or Jesus Christ or this or that, or God was damning this or damning that. Now, there are some things the Bible says God damns, by the way. There's certain behaviors. All right? But that's not what we're talking about. Taking the name of the Lord in vain really has nothing to do with that. It's not. I'm not recommending that. But this is talking about taking the name of the Lord lightly. It's talking about there was a Jewish custom at times historically where if your word was no good, you would use God's name to scotch it up. If someone ever said, I swear to God, I'll pay you on Tuesday. I swear on my mother's eyes. I'm telling you the truth. Why do we need to bring your mother's eyes into it? Well, some in the time of Jesus would say, I swear by the temple of Jerusalem, I'll keep my word. I swear by the gold on the altar. I swear by the name of the Holy One of Israel. You know what? Don't take the name of the Lord lightly. See, this points out over familiarity. You can even get familiar with Jesus. You can get so over familiar with him. It's like, come here, I'm going to give you a noogie. Lamb of God, get over here. You know, I mean, we can get so over familiar. For the Christian, taking the name of the Lord in vain may just be Jesus, 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 hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I mean, there's times in my life I never said the name of the Lord. Then I got saved and it was, oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, hallelujah, 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 Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You can get so over familiar with the Lord that you take everything regarding his kingdom lightly. You know what I mean? Don't get all anal. I don't mean that. I am just simply saying that in a love relationship, there needs to be a sense of honoring the relationship where it doesn't get over familiar. Mark Twain said, familiarity breeds contempt and children. Love's, amen. I heard some amens in the back. Having no other gods before me, loves loyalty to its object, not making engraven images, loves faithfulness to obey, not taking the name of the Lord God in vain, loves respect for its object, no overfamiliarity. And look at the fourth commandment. This is this is Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 6. This is the first part Jesus said, vertically with God. This is the last one. Listen to this. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, Exodus 20, verse 8. This is love's total dedication and attention to its object. Love's total dedication and attention to its object. God says, I want your exclusive focus to the exclusion of all else. Now, do you want loyalty in your relationships? Of course you do. Do you want the faithfulness of mutual submission and obedience? Of course you do. Do you want them to reverence and honor what you have and not be overfamiliar? Of course you do. And that's all the Lord asks here. He says, I want you. The Sabbath principle represents, on the Sabbath, it was one day out of seven where there was an absolute exclusivity, where everything else was shut out and you were utterly and completely focused. You know, that's what you want in relationship too. You want to be the focus to the exclusion of all other people. You want to be the focus. You want the quality time. That's what God says. I want quality time with you. But see, it's love behind this. This is what you want in a love relationship. Now notice, any of these 10 inverted destroy everything. Look at the 10 commandments in reverse. If you need loyalty for a relationship to thrive, disloyalty will ruin a relationship. If you need faithfulness and obedience, unfaithfulness and disobedience will destroy love. Love's respect for its object, you disrespect, you don't give your total dedication and attention to the relationship, it'll absolutely explode. So notice these first four commandments are the first tablet of the Ten Commandments. Vertically, they're dealing with God. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 6, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Now with the fifth one, we're horizontal. Now we're dealing with our relationship to others. And look at this. The fifth one, honor your father and your mother, Exodus 20, verse 12. And a few folk here said, amen. Well, what is this law of love? This is love's submission and respect for authority. Love's submission and respect for authority. Now, did you know that all love relationships have to have structure? Okay? Love always has limits. And if we do not show a proper an abiding respect for the authorities that God has set in the world, in the government, relationally in our lives, if we're going to go against and violate all of the structures of authority in the culture, guess what's going to happen? Just go through that stop sign. There's a little car comes up behind you with lights, and a guy gets out that has a gun and a badge. And if you keep pushing it, those people can take you to jail. And then they take you in front of a guy with a robe on called a judge. And if you keep violating every authority God has established in the earth, you're going to wind up in an electric chair somewhere. See, we need a healthy respect for authority. We need a healthy respect for submitting to authority. And with the honoring the mother and the father thing, we're introduced to that privilege of honoring the authorities God has set. Now, are they always right? No, he's not saying your mother and father are not idiots. But just because you have a bad president, we don't abolish the presidency. Just because there's a bad doctor, you don't abolish medicine. All right. Just because a mom or a dad didn't fulfill every mandate that you needed as a child still doesn't erase the fact that we need to be respectful towards authority in the culture and in our lives. We need to show as Christians, Romans chapter 13 says, give honor to whom honor is due. Do you know in the book of Jude, the Bible says Michael the archangel, in dealing with Satan himself, shows deference to his authority and didn't rebuke him arbitrarily. He said, the Lord rebuke you. See, even he shows authority to distinguished principalities. He doesn't agree with them morally, but he acknowledges the order of things. Someone say amen. Do you know, one of the signs of the end times is a total disrespect and disregard to all authority. Covenant breakers, truce breakers with no respect for authority. And did you know God is the fountainhead of all authority? All authority comes from God as the source. If you see that, well, not my boss. You don't know my boss. Just a minute. God is the source and fountainhead of all authority. Therefore, every authority in your life is mandated by God. Doesn't say they're always right, but it does say that our response to authority is a very telling thing with regard to our sensitive hearts in terms of relationship. First with God and then with others. So again, honor your mother and your father. That's love, submission, and respect for authority. Look at the sixth commandment. Here, you know this one, thou shalt not kill. You shall not murder. Exodus 20, verse 13. This is love's refusal to destroy the object of love. There are many ways to destroy something relationally. Killing happens at many levels, doesn't it? Jesus said hating somebody is a form of murder, right? Hatred, birthing gossip, speaking about somebody. You can murder with your tongue. Did you know that this little organ is a concealed weapon and should have a license? This is the only weapon that kills at a distance. You can say something on the East Coast that kills someone's reputation on the West Coast. Negative words and gossip are like all the little feathers in a pillow that got ripped and all the feathers were thrown all over the place. And then someone says, now go pick them all up. You can't pick them all up. You can't re-pick up all your words that have come forth from a hateful heart. Come on now. You see, the Bible's very clear. Love's commitment is not to destroy the object. Don't murder. I mean, do you really need to be told that? Do you see how love is the fulfillment of the law? If you love your baby, you don't need a law saying don't stick a needle in his eye. Oh, thank God they wrote that law down. Whoo! I didn't know what to do when I found that needle. Are you nuts? Love in your heart, not only is it the only thing that'll transform you from the inside out, but it fills you to such a degree that you know as well as I do that you don't need external oughts and shoulds to tell you what to do. Romans 2:14 says God has written on the moral code of every heart his law. There's the starry heavens above, Romans 1:16, and the moral law within. And I can prove even a base atheist knows the moral law of God because they may not live it or teach it, but how they react is what reveals to you someone's real moral system. See, a thief may live by thievery, but go ahead and steal something from him, and you'll see in a minute what his moral code really is. He really doesn't believe you can steal anything anytime, anyway. Try stealing it from him. You can take any woman anytime, anyway. Try taking his woman anytime, anyway. And you find it real. See, you don't get to someone's moral code by what they say or how they live, but by how they react when you do it to them. I believe you should be able to kill anyone anyway. Okay, stick a muzzle in his mouth, cock the thing, and say, what was that? You said I should be able to kill anyone anytime anyway. You see, he doesn't really believe it because how he reacts shows you his moral code. Everyone has a moral code. My atheist friend, I was just talking to it, hearing him criticize Christianity and Christian ministries, has a higher moral code than I have. He just knows everything that's right and wrong and appropriate and inappropriate and just and unjust. And I was amazed. to hear a man who believes nothing times nobody equals everything, holding up moral standards over all the preachers. Anyway, that's another tape. Well, don't get me going. Don't get me going. You shall not murder. Don't destroy the object of your love. Now, you really don't need to be told that, but you know what? There's lots of ways to murder. So just be mindful. God had to say it. Because even though we know it, we keep destroying relationships and people's reputations. All right, I'm going to stop. We should have taken the offering first. I know that now. I see my error now. Eighth commandment to the rest of you sinners. Let's finish this thing out. No, the seventh. Let's not skip that one. You shall not commit adultery. Oh, I almost dropped one of them, didn't I? Exodus 20:14. You know, he's got a selective memory the older he gets. The nine commandments. Wait a minute. You shall not commit adultery. What is this? This is love. This is love's sacred reverence for the purity of its object. Love's sacred reverence for the purity of its object. When you love something, you're going to maintain its purity, its integrity, and you're not going to soil its purity and its integrity. And if that man loves you, he's not going to soil your purity and your integrity. And if that woman loves you, she's not going to soil your purity and your integrity. See, love doesn't do that. Whatever does that isn't love. See, there's three things. There's what we call egoistic love. That's really not love. It's lust. It's I want what I want on my terms. Right? Then there's sort of the give and take love. Like there's the love, if you love me, I'll love you. If you give 50%, I'll give 50%. You know, that sort of ebb and flow kind of love. But then there's what's called agape love, which is love that is unconditional. Which means if you don't give me what I want and you don't even respond to me the way I would like you to, I love you anyway. That's the love of God. See, we call things love. I love to love you, baby. Okay, I don't think that's what we're talking about. That's not love. Because that, love to love, that'll assault every bit of purity and every bit of dignity that was left, that you thought was left. Someone say, amen. You shall not commit adultery, love sacred reverence for the purity of its object. Eighth, you shall not steal, Exodus 20:15. This is love's unselfish treatment of its object. Unselfish treatment. Don't be a taker. I tell my children, I said, there's two kinds of people. There are givers and takers. And there are people that build you up or tear you down. I told my son, I said, Grant, you are either building somebody up and giving to them right now, or you are tearing somebody down and taking from them right now. Don't be a taker. The world's full of takers. But you see, God said in our relationship of love, you're not going to be a taker. You're going to be unselfish. You're going to be self-sacrificial in your commitment to outserve your beloved and outserve those that I placed in your life. Don't be selfish. Now, this is pretty simple, isn't it? This is Fulgham, and everything I needed to know I learned in kindergarten. Well, everything you needed to know you learned on Mount Sinai. We can put our book out. In fact, that's a good idea. Don't you dare steal that idea. You know who you are. You shall not steal, Exodus 20:15, love's unselfish treatment of its object. And ninth, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, Exodus 20:16. This is love's commitment to truthfulness. You know, our relationship is only as strong as it is founded in truth. You know, I talk to people that have been married for years. People confess everything to me. In fact, I could write a book now that I think of it. Just kidding. I hear people's confession. And what really shocks me sometimes is that there will be marriages where people have been together for years and there's a fundamental core issue about the one or the other's life that they've never told the truth about. Well, when I was young, such and such happened to me. And it's not a non-essential. It's not something like, we don't want you to confess every idea you have to your spouse. Good Lord. We all have enough in our own head. But I'm talking about core issues. Did you know your relationship is only as strong as you are truthful in that relationship? Only when you tell the truth does a relationship really begin. You don't want to hold the beach ball of truth under the water. It's really hard to do that once, let alone twice, let alone three times. You see, the foundation, God says, of our relationship is truth. Truth. And finally, you shall not covet, Exodus 20:17. This is love's contentment to give in all circumstances. You know, did you know coveting is longing for something someone else has? It's jealousy. It's envy. It's always looking at the newest, the truest, the best, and the blessed. Have you ever looked at the billboards? Okay, those airbrushed boys and girls at Abercrombie and Fitch, first of all, they don't exist. Because you should have seen them come into the photo shoot before the Starbucks. Then they trim them up and they put oil on them and then they touch up the pictures and then they hold them up as the normative standard for young men and young women. You see, every bit of advertisement in the culture is designed to make you discontented with what you have so that you're sick of what you have, so that you long for something more than what you have. And God said, you know what? Our relationship won't flourish if you always want to be somewhere else with someone else doing something else. You got to learn to be content no matter where you are with what you have in the love God has given you vertically and the love horizontally that is in your life. 10 laws of love. See, love is the fulfillment of the law. Next time you see in the Ten Commandments the fire burn, the commandments on the wall, don't be frightened. These aren't God being angry, saying, if it's fun, no. It's God saying, you know what? We need to tend our relationship. Love's loyalty to its object. You shall have no other gods. Love's faithfulness to obey. No graven images. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Love's respect for its object. Remember the Sabbath day. Love's total dedication and attention to its object. Honor your father and mother. Love's submission and respect to authority. You shall not murder. Love's refusal to destroy its object. You shall not commit adultery. Love's sacred reverence for the purity of its object. Don't steal. Love's unselfish treatment of its object. You shall not bear false witness. Love's commitment to truthfulness. And you shall not covet. Love's commitment to contentment. Now, that speaks volumes to me about the heart of God, the God behind the Ten Commandments, the God who redeemed a broken and hopeless and helpless people. And that's how he loves you. He's crazy about you. In the person of his son, Jesus Christ, he laid all of heaven and its value out in sacrificial love so that you could have peace with this God forever. That's a wonderful thing. It's gospel. That's good news. God exists, but he's crazy about you, and he is love. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your mercy today. We thank you for tender commandments. We thank you for lanes that we will love to run in because they're safe lanes. We thank you for, like a train on the tracks, is not in bondage, but is set in liberty to fulfill its destiny. We embrace you, Lord, in all the structuring of your love in our lives. And thank you, Lord, for your Son who gave himself for us to redeem us from the penalty of sin and to redeem us from darkness and to take us out of Egypt and to bring us into the promised land of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you give the Lord some praise right there?